Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
I'm thankful to be back in town this weekend. Last week, I was with those who were on retreat. We went to the Making Space for God retreat with a group of us up in Frankfort, Illinois, and it was really good to get away together, not just to get away, but to literally make space for God on purpose, which is not to say there's not usually space for God, but to say purposefully carve out time and space where we pursue God's presence and an awareness of God in a way that, our normal routines and practices don't always encourage, and especially this year for both men and women to get away on retreat together. What a blessing it was. I mean, we see it in Jesus' life even, right? That he got away to a solitary place where he prayed. And if Jesus needed that on a regular basis, how much more do we need these practices to remind us and to spend time in the midst of God's presence on purpose? I was thankful for that. And as I was experiencing it and looking back on it, even this week, as we're journeying through Daniel still together, I was aware of how Daniel lived this kind of reality in his own life. We know that Daniel, as we've read through the first six chapters so far, he wasn't just following the rules and the regulations of being a good Jewish person wherever he went. We know that Daniel, what was revealed through him, was powerful and was a story that was shared throughout the generations that came after Daniel because of this. Because when Israel was taken by Babylon, right, when Israel became exiles in other foreign lands, there were a lot of people who began to lose their way, to lose their identity, because they had a faith that was tied to a particular practice in a particular place. And what we see happening in Daniel is that his identity as a follower of God, his identity as one of God's children, wasn't tied to being in a specific place. He understood something that was deeper, this relationship that he was invited to walk in and abide in with God. This is even before Pentecost, which blows some of our minds and makes us wonder, wait a minute, I thought Pentecost is where, yeah, I mean, it did start at Pentecost in some really exciting ways everywhere, but we see throughout the book of Daniel already, if this is going to work, I think it will. Maybe not. If we click to the first slide, is it working on? It's a really long way for the signal to travel. Sorry. There we go. Nope, that's a blank. Here we go. Daniel walked with the Spirit of God. I know it's hard for me to do, but I guarantee you it's better for me to do the clicker than to all blame Susan for everything I'm doing wrong. All right. So Daniel walked with the Spirit of God, and as Daniel walked with it, you've got all the list of scriptures there in your Mad Libs, right? That all the different places where it points out, Daniel had this Spirit, and they couldn't explain it, they didn't understand it, because nobody else was walking in that way, but Daniel was. We can't make an equation out of it. We can't say, well, because this, Daniel deserved this. We don't know why, but that's kind of why we have the story of Daniel, right? It's this prophet that God had made him to be, this prophetic voice for the purposes of God and his kingdom that was coming. There was this connection that Daniel had to the triune God, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that are always in relationship together. So because Daniel walked in relationship with the Holy Spirit, he had access to the fullness of God and walked with God. And Daniel trusted in God even as the powers in that area changed. We saw the powers change already in the first six chapters, right? From Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar, now to Darius, and Daniel continued. continued trusting in God and continued living and walking in the Spirit, and so continued being a voice for God's people in God's time throughout the story so far. And because the story was passed on for Israel for generations to come, he becomes a story that reveals through generations that God and his people were not tied to a particular land or a particular temple, but it was about walking with God, bringing glory to God as they walked together, as they lived in a trusting and abiding relationship with God. And even as the unchangeable was changed and shaken, Elohim, right? Daniel, right? We know that God is my judge. God alone is my judge. God is the one who sets all things right. I hope you're sick of me saying that because you remember it so well. God is the one who makes all things right, who sets all things back in their redemptive order. And Elohim is our source of peace, even as all things change. And last week, Pastor Sean reminded us or began this exciting story. We've heard of this story. This is, Daniel and the lion's den. Even out in popular culture, people have heard of this story, even if they're not familiar with the Bible. They might not even know where the story comes from, but they've heard of the story. And here we are finally jumping in. Story that some of us have been waiting for since we knew we were jumping into Daniel. And last week, Pastor Sean reminded us that even as Darius was now the king of this area, Daniel was still a voice that was being listened to. Daniel was still a powerfully influential voice that King Darius respected and put in position of power. And I wonder if King Darius knew that Daniel served a higher power. Darius knew that Daniel wasn't aligned to any particular world leader to the point where when Darius became king, he thought, I need to get rid of everybody who was allegiant to the previous kings and administrations because I want my leadership to follow me. He learned about Daniel, learned about the history of who Daniel was actually being in service to, and said, okay, that guy keep because I can trust him. Because he serves a higher power than any of the kings that have come before me. And he's done a lot of good for this kingdom, even though he kind of sets up for what's about to happen as well in that position and that decision. He sets Daniel into a place of power, and he wants to use the connection that Daniel has by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because he puts Daniel in a position of power, wants to use him really well, his position made other people jealous, right? Because the new administration is in town and all these other people who had aligned themselves with this power that was coming into power think that they're going to rise to the top, and they see this guy who, this 80-something-year-old man who's been around here for a while is somehow elevated into power at the same place they are, and that's not okay because they've been serving this guy and they've been serving this power for a long time, and they're jealous. And so as Pastor Sean pointed out last week, they kind of twist their words and help the king make this law about how to pray for the next 30 days. And now it's kind of a big deal the way some of us have interpreted it, because it was a polytheistic culture, right? They were very comfortable not just having many gods, but adding multiple gods to their list if it would ever benefit them. So to say that Darius was the only king, the only god, the only person they could pray to, if it was just about him being a god, would have been upsetting to a lot of people. And so I kind of align, I fall under one of the groups that are interpreting this by saying, it's not so much that he became a god or felt that he was a god, but it was that he was the person to and through whom everybody would pray to all the gods. Does that make sense? So they were still a very polytheistic culture, but they were praying through Darius for the next 30 days. He would represent as a stand-in all of the various gods that they believed existed, including the ones whom they probably didn't know about yet. But it would all go through Darius. And now most of them didn't have a problem with that, because they didn't believe that humans could have access to God. We don't deserve that, right? For all that we can make fun or not understand about cultures like theirs, they had a really good thing going in their humility. They depended on other people to tell them about God because they knew they were human. When they looked in the mirror, well, whatever mirrors they had, when they looked in reflective surfaces, they saw, right, humanity reflected back. They didn't think too highly of themselves. And so, of course, it makes sense. We should pray through the king, the divinely appointed ruler. Now, Daniel had a problem with this. We remember back in chapter 1, when Daniel was asked to eat food that was dedicated and provided by the king, Daniel was worried about this food defiling him as he's trying to live a life that's fully dependent apart from the king's provisions. He wants to be fully dependent on Elohim and doesn't want to compromise that living in dependency on God alone. So if that's how he responded to having to eat food, imagine how he's responding now to them saying, you have to actually pray through Darius to your God, Elohim. And it makes us wonder ourselves this week, how are your prayers lately? How are your prayers lately? And I know that that kind of question is asked from this kind of place often in a way that's meant to stir guilt. How are your prayer? How is your prayer? Man, I heard a message at New Room Conference that really, man, it got me, right? We're not praying enough overall. Yeah, there are times and places for those kinds of messages. This is not that kind of message. But I do want to ask, how are your prayers lately? Not out of guilt. I don't believe that there is an amount of prayer that's required for us to be in right relationship with God. Because throughout Scripture, we don't see us earning right relationship because of the time we spend in prayer. And yet, how are your prayers lately? To understand and to consider this morning, the big deal it is that we do have direct access to God. And not just God, but a God who reveals himself as a loving father. Do I have this up here? I think I do. Yeah, nope, I don't have it. Just kidding. I'm going to read it to you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1a. See what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Children of God, that we approach God as our Father, our loving Father. Do our prayers reflect that? Do you enter into your prayer time knowing that God is loving Father who is so excited to have you back in his presence again? I know how excited I am to have our daughter home with us from college. Woohoo! We love spending time with her because we love all of our kids. Whenever our kids come back from being away somewhere, oh man, how was your time away? Share with me your heart. My heart yearns to connect with their heart in a way that, man, I want us to know that we're in solidly right relationship again. And imagine that times the infinite that God experiences and that we experience and get invited to in his presence every time we come to God in prayer. And so that's the heart I'm asking this morning. How are your prayers lately? Do we know God in this way? Do we let ourselves experience God in this way? And I realize it takes faith to experience God in that way, but will you give yourself permission to try that, to approach God with that kind of heart and openness? And remember, I'm not asking, do you pray enough? Right? Scripture says, pray continually. I'm pretty sure 99% of us do not pray enough, if there was a word for enough. And yet, how are your prayers? Do we know what a gift and privilege that is? And so that's the heart that Daniel has as he hears this law that's being passed about directing his prayer through Darius. And he's like, wait a minute, why would I do? Anyways, we're going to read the scripture itself. Open your Bibles if they're not open yet. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. Thank you, Susan. hear these words. It says, although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room open toward Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees 3 times a day to pray to his God and to praise him, just as he had done previously. Then those men watched and found Daniel praying and seeking mercy before his God. And then they approached the king and said concerning the interdict, O king, did you not sign an interdict that anyone who prays to any god or human within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of lions? The king answered, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. And then they responded to the king, Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the interdict that you have signed, but he's saying his prayers 3 times a day. When the king heard the charge, he was very much distressed. He was determined to save Daniel, and until the sun went down, he made every effort to rescue him. Then the conspirators came to the king and said to him, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you. A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet ring of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No entertainment was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Jesus, we are thankful for the living word this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and speak to us in ways that we do not expect. Examine our hearts in the presence of your word this morning. For your purposes, we trust you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Daniel knew the consequences. He also knew God. He knew Elohim. And not just knew Elohim, but he knew Elohim as the one who makes all things right. And he knew that he had the ability to pray directly to God. And so, that means not Babylon, right? It wasn't Babylon who makes all things right. It wasn't the Medes or the Persians or even legislation itself that sets all things right. It was Elohim. So there was nothing worth altering his practice. Certainly not worth missing out on time with his God. And so he continued to spend time with God, spend time praying with God. And we do know, because scripture tells us, he had a window directed toward Jerusalem and that Daniel was on the upper floor. We know that in verses like 1 Kings, verse 8, I'm going to turn there really quick. Chapter 8, verses 35 and 36 says, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, and then they pray toward this place, confess your name and turn from their sin because you punish them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. So there was this practice, even in exile, of turning toward Jerusalem. Right, no matter where you were, remembering the story of God's people. Not because Jerusalem was a magical place, but because it was where God had met with his people and done amazing things. And when they orient their bodies in prayer toward believing in the place where God had done amazing things with his people, something changed. And their identities were reinforced as those who turn toward the faithfulness of God. So we have that reminder from 1 Kings. We have another reminder from Psalm 55, verse 17. Psalm 55, verse 17, the psalmist says, I call upon God, and the Lord will save me evening and morning and at noon. I utter my complaint, and he will hear my voice. Evening and morning and at now it sounds weird for us. We would say morning, noon, and night, right? But in the Jewish context, their culture, each new day begins in the evening. So evening, morning, and at noon, spending the entire day in times of prayer, times of calling out to God. Now, when I was growing up, I remember hearing this story, and there were people who wondered, there are even cartoons who wondered, if Daniel had just hid himself in prayer, everything might have been fine. They said, but Daniel purposefully, right, and proudly went to the window so that he would be seen by everybody praying faithfully to God. And that maybe that was why what happened had happened. I don't think that's what Scripture is saying here. Daniel was living in a constant mode of prayer, living and walking with the Holy Spirit in relationship with the triune God. Verse 11 tells us, chapter 6, verse 11 says, then those men watched and found Daniel praying. And the word there is this going tumultuously, right? They kind of burst in on Daniel, finding him in prayer. And they would have found him whether he was by the window or whether he was in his bedroom or whether he was whatever. They would have burst in and find him because they knew, because he was a person of prayer, that whenever and however they burst in on Daniel, they would probably discover him in the midst of prayer. It's the person he was. There's a sermon within that, right? Are we known as people of prayer? If someone burst in on us at any time of the day, would they discover us in connection and in relationship with a God who says, walk with me by the power of the Spirit that I'm giving you? But notice here in Scripture what Daniel is praying for. Daniel's not praying for fire and damnation on his enemies. The law had been just changed, and Daniel wasn't praying that he would be protected by a hedge of protection or that God would smite his enemies. He was seeking the mercies of God. The prayers of Daniel reveal a humble heart. He knew that he walked with the Spirit as someone who was undeserving, as someone who was continually not possessing the Spirit, but receiving the Spirit and what God was doing by his Spirit. He was in relationship with God, and there was this ongoing grace, this ongoing loving mercy that God was pouring out. Which makes us ask the question of ourselves even this morning. What are our prayers? Not going to the place of how many prayers are you praying or how much time are you spending in prayer. If you were to write out the prayers of our hearts this morning, what do they sound like? Do they sound like they come from a heart that recognizes we depend on God and his love and his provision? Do they recognize the gratitude of being those who are in this constant relationship that God invites us to exist in? I also wonder if it's possible, and this is just imagining, right? Is it possible that Daniel had grown comfortable in Babylon? We have decades that went by, and all of a sudden he comes back on the scene as this 80-something-year-old man. And I wonder if even Daniel was being checked in his relationship with God during this season, and he was experiencing a bit of a revival in his own prayer life. Was it possible that Daniel was being in this renewed relationship with God in a way that strengthened his resolve so that when this law was changed, he said, why would I give up what I've just rediscovered? I'm in relationship with God himself. Do you remember COVID? Do you remember when suddenly every little thing that we had taken for granted, we became thankful for? And we thought to ourselves, there's no way I'll take that for granted in the future. Do you remember that? Remember when all these little changes happened and all these little things that we thought were little things became really, really big things? Time with one another. Hugs. Being in the room with other human beings and talking face to face about things that mattered. Worshiping together in one room. Do you remember how COVID stripped bare all these expectations we had about what was unchangeable and what could be changed? I want to pause just for a second. I'm going to give you a moment to turn to the people around you and just finish this sentence. This week, I'm thankful for blank. All right? Whatever it is. Make it small things, too. Be thankful for small things. On the count of three, one, two, three, go. All right, while you're talking, you can write it in your sermon Mad Libs too. Write it on your piece of paper. This week, I give thanks to God for blank. What is it good for us to be reminded that we are thankful for this morning? Because our gratitude orients our hearts as those who are receiving something worth being thankful for. We want to be those kinds of, we want to be the kind of person who is grateful. Daniel was caught being a person of prayer because that's just who he was. And then the accusers remind the king about what he had said, right? His edict or his interdict, as the NRSVUE puts it. And this phrase that we hear over and over again in chapter 6, the law of the Medes and the Persians. And this stands as a reminder to us that the story of Daniel is not a story about how powerful Daniel was. It's not even a story about how faithful Daniel was, right? This story, this book, this whole thing that we have about Daniel is about how God is the judge. God is the one who sets all things right. And he's the one that we look toward to set all things right. And so it becomes this prophetic letter to the people of Israel for generations to come that this reveals the realities of God. That in the beginning, in verse chapter 1 of this whole book, God is the one who gave Israel into the hands of Babylon. That God is the one who gives visions and dreams. God is the one who gives protection from the furnace. God is the one who gives promotion to his people, even in the places of Babylon that it seems God shouldn't have power over. God is revealed as more powerful than Nebuchadnezzar. God is revealed as more powerful than the diviners or the wise men of the kingdom. God is revealed as more powerful than the furnaces of Babylon. God is revealed as more powerful than the idols or the mysteries of this world. And God's people are facing power after power after power. And here in chapter 6 again, we have them confronted with something new, the power of an unchangeable law. We know that all of Scripture points to Jesus, right? If we don't know that, please know that. Write it down if you need to. All of Scripture points to Jesus. And we know already from the stories in Daniel that this story helps us to remember that it's not about a place. God is setting his people free from worrying about being in a particular place in order to be his people. And here we have the story setting God's people free from needing to live under laws in order to exist in relationship with God. This is a foreshadowing of things like Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, which says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Right, they're being set free from living under the curse and the bondage of the law in order to be in relationship with God. And in the story of Daniel, we have a foreshadowing of that happening. But in the story, the king himself is revealed to have no power in response to the unchangeableness of this law. that keeps being brought up. The law of the Medes and Persians. The law of the Medes and Persians. This unchangeable. Nothing can be done to change the law. Everybody has to live in submission to the law. And this tension is building. And the men accuse and they even shame Daniel as a foreigner, right? Saying, this is exile that was brought over from Judah. And then all of a sudden, this unexpected response happens. The king was distressed. The king, the one who is in power, the one through whom everybody is currently praying, becomes distressed. Another translation, displeased. He's not happy with what's going on. And he's not happy. It's not because Daniel has been unfaithful to him, right? He's caught in a hard situation. He feels powerless. He feels bound by this same law that they're saying has bound everyone. And he becomes determined to save Daniel, and yet he's powerless. I want to ask you this morning, when has that happened for you recently? When have you felt powerless against something? What makes you feel powerless even today? And it's okay for us to confess those things. So I'm not going to have you turn to one another, but I will, if you're willing, to just yell out a word that represents the thing that makes you feel powerless.
Worry.
Worry. Yeah.
Nature.
Nature? Yeah. We have a drought right now. Anybody else? What are the things that make you feel powerless? Finances.
Expectations of others.
Ooh. Yeah. Illness. Yeah. Physical, right? We feel powerless. Anything else?
The impact of aging.
Aging, yeah. Being human. Make us feel. Microeconomics. Yeah, Both as a class and a reality. Anybody else before I turn the page?
AI,
right? Can make us feel powerless. Mental illness, yeah. We don't have to look very far. There's a list running. You may come up with more. It's okay. Write them down. Confessing these things is an important part of our prayer life because we believe there's a God who hears our prayers. And because our prayers join together, we are in community with one another as we feel these feelings of powerlessness. And so the tension continues to build in the story. And the powerless king commands Daniel, because he has to, commands him into the den. But even as he's commanding Daniel into the den, he says these words, "May your God deliver you." And this is the God who the Israelites know. This is the God who delivers. We've seen it over and over again already in our story. And so as the king who's sentencing Daniel to death, says, "May your God deliver you." And the emphasis again is on, right, they talk about the signet ring and putting these images of something that is firm and unchanging and sure and solid is happening. To bring these images to mind, this is something unchangeable. In the story of God to God's people for generations to come, we keep having this image enforced. Here is something that the world sees as unable to change, even to the point where the king himself cannot change it and is powerless in the face of it. And as I prayed over this passage this week, I remember months ago, as I set the trajectory of Daniel here at Mattis, I put little fun titles on every passage that I thought, I think God might be saying this about this passage. And for this particular passage, I remember writing the words, "risky faithfulness." And I remember thinking, obviously, that's Daniel. He's risking it all to be faithful to God. And I thought, that makes sense. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've preached it before. And as I'm reading it this week, I'm realizing, look at how Daniel feels in this passage. Better yet, you can't, right? All throughout the book of Daniel, when Daniel is feeling something, when Daniel is thinking something, the writer makes us aware of what Daniel is thinking and feeling if it's important to the story. What do we know about Daniel's feelings and his thinking in these moments? Nothing. What do we know about Darius? We know that King Darius is risking the life of Daniel, who he cares about, and he's risking his own well-being. We know that his words don't line up with his actions even in these moments. He's living in a way that is not congruent with what he says he's believing. As he's saying to Daniel, "May your God deliver you," he also signs the death sentence for Daniel, right? Because he's serving the God of expectations. We see Darius go back, right? What's he say here? Verse 18, the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. He couldn't even eat. No entertainment was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. And I wonder, what would have happened to Darius? Oh, sorry, I'm not going to spoil what happens next because we're not reading that today. What would happen to Darius if God didn't save Daniel? We're not going to move the story forward today because I want us to be stuck in the den with Daniel. Or better yet, stuck in the uncomfortable moments with Darius when he's living in a way that doesn't match up with the way that he's declaring his values to be as he's serving the expectations. I want us to open our hearts for a moment to the Holy Spirit. Because I think often we see ourselves as Daniel, right? And making space for God retreat, one of the things we talked about is this imagining ourselves in the stories of Scripture. To imagine ourselves as one of the characters in the story, and as we're imagining ourselves going through these things, what does it make us feel? And what is that feeling pointing out to us? What is the Holy Spirit making us aware of as we're experiencing what we imagine? It's easy for us to imagine ourselves as Daniel in this story because it's helpful, it's encouraging. Be someone who's faithful, even when it means risking your life, even when it means that the whole world seems against you. We want to hear that, and it's encouraging for us. And oh man, God can use that. And if that's where God is speaking to you this morning, I don't want to yuck your yum, right? That makes sense. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he's guiding you in that. But I also want to encourage you to imagine yourself as Darius for a moment. Imagine yourself living according to the expectations of the kingdom. Are there places where we are prioritizing self, or prioritizing our finances, or prioritizing power or influence or comfort? And remember that to serve anything other than Jesus is risky faithfulness. It may not look like it always, right? Serving something other than Jesus, let's be honest, it may fill our bank accounts. It may fill our shelves with supplies for what's to come. It may help us to have laws that make sense with what we desire. It may help us to feel stable. And yet, serving anything other than Jesus is still risky faithfulness. When the kingdom of Jesus arrives, when everything apart from what has been built up in Jesus Christ does not remain, it's good for us to have a moment of confessional prayer this morning. I like to imagine scenes or images when I pray because it really helps me to number one, not fall asleep when I'm praying, because I need something to latch onto in my imagination. So what I want you to imagine this morning is I want you to imagine that you're walking down the beach and you see this kid and he's building a sandcastle. And it's a beautiful sandcastle, and it's right there next to the waters because he's been using the water to tie into the sand. He's been doing some really impressive things with it. But you see, because you know the way these things work, the tide is slowly coming in. And as beautiful as that sandcastle is, you know that relatively soon all this work is going to be washed away. And in prayer for just a moment, I want to invite you to close your eyes even, if it helps focus. I want you to imagine yourself as that child. And the Holy Spirit is walking down the beach and comes up to you and points out an area of your life where you are devoting a lot of your time, a lot of your energy, a lot of your identity on this castle that's made of sand. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit lovingly remind you that this is risky faithfulness to something that is unnecessary in the kingdom. And it's not that he wants to pour out his wrath. It's because God loves you as a father. And I want you to, in prayer, just imagine God helping you collect your supplies and moving further up the beach out of the reach of the tide that's coming in. And beginning to build with you as his stream of living water becomes all that is needed to build a sandcastle that you've never imagined before. Something that is solid and something that will endure. Listen to the compassion with which he addresses those places in your life. There's no shame and there's no guilt. But there is love saying, I see how much energy you're putting into this castle. And I love it. You are so creative. You are so gifted. Can I help move you into a place where you can pour your energy in something that will last forever? The choir has a song they're going to help us close with this morning. As they're coming to get situated, I want to give you a spoiler alert. They're talking about the Lord blessing you and keeping you. The Lord lifting his face to shine upon you and give you peace. This way that Daniel walked in relationship with God, knowing who God is and living in this face-to-face relationship with God, is something we all desire. And as we spend time face to face with God, in relationship with our Father, in relationship with God in ways that we allow him to see us fully, and we are able to see his face fully, our desires are reshaped, our hearts are reshaped, we receive life from the age that is to come in ways that help us to stop building castles by the shores of the tide, so that we can, when moments like King Darius come in our lives, we're not bound by the expectations that are on our shoulders. We are bound by this relationship to a God who has set us free to build for eternity together. So as you hear their words this morning, hear them calling you to a blessed life that sees the face of God and reveals our face to him as he looks at us. Let's hear and receive their benediction together.